This is the Nightcap with Tim Murray and Super Bowl champion Sean King on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
And running on a Wednesday evening alongside Sean King. I am Tim Murray. It is good to be back, Sean.
My man.
Back in the saddle. Appreciate Mr. Seidenberg holding things down. I was traveling all across the world, it felt like. So good to be back. Had a little family stuff to attend to last week. Then, you know, took the little guy to Disneyland this week.
So. I was riding in. I was getting hyped up. My boy Tim back in the building. Yeah, he back on the block. Ha ha.
And the bowl games came out. I was telling you, I was having serious FOMO, fear of missing out, when the bowl games came out this weekend. And anybody who knows me, the bowl season is my favorite season. I love bowl games.
Whatever.
They are the best.
I've heard you say this is my favorite like 12 times.
That's true. But I do love bowl season. Aaron Oster can attest to this. I'm crazy about bowl season. As soon as I got back into the state lines, I was able to fire away on some bowl games. We'll get to that in a little bit. But I don't want to bury the lead. So we've been doing this show for, what, about 4 months?
Mm-hmm. August 1st.
And the first week we were here, I had a little trip that I had planned. I didn't think our show was going to start as early as it did. Mm-hmm. Went to Hawaii. And I didn't know the rules, according to Sean, that I must bring back a gift. Anytime I go anywhere. Now, I had to go to a funeral in Maine last week, so I didn't feel like I needed to bring back a gift from that.
Lobster would have been good.
But I did most recently, as mentioned, went to Disneyland with my son, my wife. So I had to get, of course, the most important gift of all, Disneyland customized. I don't know if anyone can read that.
Nice.
It says Puckstradamus on the back. So I would like you to put that on, sir.
Absolutely.
There you go. Yeah. There's your gift, Puckstradamus.
I hope it fits.
It's the biggest size they had. Yeah. There it is. Look at that.
Let me get the string right. String's trying to sabotage me here.
There. Yeah. So that was the most important thing that I had to do when going to Disneyland. Find that. That is the classic. That is the OG hat. If anyone's ever been to Disneyland.
I actually really like the hat. I wish it fit, but.
Yeah, that's the biggest size they had.
Yeah, so.
So you could get it customized, and the most amount of letters was 16. And I'm counting on my fingers. I'm like, Puckstradamus. I think it would fit. So I thought, you know, I was just going to do the bland, regular Sean. And I'm like, that's not as good.
Puckstradamus is brilliant.
Well, then I thought, secondly, I was like, maybe I'll put 2021 Rookie of the Year. Shout out back-to-back for this show. Here we go.
The Nightcap.
Back-to-back Rookie
holding
of the
it
Years.
Down.
But then I thought, no. Puckstradamus. So I go up there, young lady working the register. She says, would you like this personalized? I said, yes, I would. Okay. What would you like it to say? And I said, Puckstradamus. And she kind of gave me this look, and I spelled it out. And then the woman who inscribed it looks at me and goes, is that a band? I go, no.
Is that a band? That's
I go, it's awesome. A nickname for my friend. And she goes, are you going to wear it in the theme park? And I said, no. She goes, okay, I'll do it. She was nervous. It was some sort of slang. People at Disney, it is not any slang. It is a nickname for my guy,
right.
Sean King.
I'm Puckstradamus.
The Puckstradamus right there.
Hold on.
On the Mickey ears.
Yeah, there
beautiful.
You go. Beautiful.
So I had to make sure that we got the hat. The OG hat, the Mickey ears.
I appreciate this.
There we go. So
this is going up in the King House.
Absolutely, I should. I hope so. And speaking of Puckstradamus, what do you got on the line tonight?
So tonight we have the Dallas Stars on the money line.
Okay,
they're here in Vegas playing the Golden Knights.
Ooh.
Dallas has been on fire. I think 7 in a row. Very rarely will you get a team that good, that hot, at plus money. I know Vegas has gotten healthier, playing better, but I think it's good value the side of the guys from Jerry World.
So we will get that game. Are we allowed to watch it in studio?
Facts.
Okay, we will get that game on in studio. My brother in town, he's actually at – my brother, who lives in Maryland, is in town, and he is going to a Knights game. I've never been to a Knights game.
Me either. We also have Marquette in college basketball.
Yes, we are together.
Yeah, Kansas State is trying to pull away. Hopefully Shaka can get it right in his timeout.
Yeah, so we saw Marquette is a dog. Some money coming in on Marquette, so we are rolling with the Golden Eagles here tonight. So there you go, our two sweating bets. We do need Marquette to turn things around.
Is that what it closed at, 5.5?
No, that's in-game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's in-game right now.
What?
Yeah, it closed at 1.5.
Yeah, I was like, man.
So we got that going on. So a lot has happened. We got to get to some bowl games here in a little bit. Matt Fortuna, who's been on the show a handful of times, will join us in studio later on this hour. Paul Charchian, he's all ready to go for some prop bets. He will join us top of the hour, the second hour. And then Kenny White.
So is Kay White going to switch to NFL, or is he going to go college basketball?
I don't know.
What's he transition when college basketball ends?
He is a big when college football ends, he's a huge college basketball
guy. That's what I thought. So.
Yeah, huge college basketball guy. So we will we'll talk to Kenny. Maybe he's got some bowl plays.
I need some help in the college basketball. There's a lot of games. It's a lot of information.
Yeah, so we will get to that. But, we got Thursday Night Football coming up
tomorrow. What a game.
And we've got an exercise later on in the show. Aaron wants us to take a hold of who's going to make the playoffs here.
This was the most disappointing part of my day, by the way.
I know. It was not for me, but
I mean, I'm not going to divulge who. I tried to get this team out of the playoffs. And
there might be a cigar bet involved, too.
Yeah. I wasn't worried about the cigar at this point. I just was trying to okay, how can I say they're not going to make the playoffs and actually back this up with factual, believable information? And I just couldn't get there. And if I had hair, I probably would have pulled it out. Like, I was frustrated to the highest level of frustrativity. Like, it was ridiculous.
But today we learned that Adam Thielen out for Thursday Night Football. And we also, Dalvin Cook is, man, there we go, Marquette. There we go. That's what I'm talking about. Big posterizing dunk, and Dalvin Cook is questionable, Sean.
Okay.
And then you got the Steelers.
I hope he plays and he's not all the way healthy. That'll be even better.
Do you want to back the, you? Are you? Are the Vikings?
I'm trying to take Pittsburgh.
Are the Vikings back in the tape?
What? I mean, all the way. It wrapped up this time. See, the last time I put him in the corner, I had the tape just surrounding the corner. It wasn't touching them, and I let them back out. So this time, I wrapped them in the tape. So the time and effort it would take to take them out, I'm not going to, exert that kind of energy before this season's up. So I'm just trying to figure out how do I win money with the Steelers tomorrow on Thursday night.
Is Big Ben done?
He said he is.
No, I know. I'm just saying, this year, is he still
what's crazy
a capable
is,
enough quarterback?
Over the last, like, 6-7 games, he's thrown 12 touchdowns and 2 picks.
Yeah.
But it's been the ugliest 12-2 performance I've ever seen. Like, that's the issue with me and the Pittsburgh Steelers is that I mean, the stress level of betting with them and watching the actual game, like there was no point in the Ravens game, and I had Steelers money line, that I felt comfortable that they were going to cash this ticket, but they did. So I think I'm going to ride the Mike Tomlin train, why it's rolling in the right direction,
I'm just mad that
this is more a bet against Minnesota for me tomorrow.
We talked so much about will the Lions get a win, who would it be? And I'm just mad at myself because I said it on the show. Now, I didn't bet it, and I didn't put it in my bankroll, which was a disaster. But I looked at that game and I said, man, doesn't it feel like the Vikings could screw it up here? And I know, I'm sure you talked about this on Monday. What is Dantzler doing? I mean, that defense was unbelievably terrible to be back in the middle of the end zone. So my question, spinning that now, because we don't have to rehash games that happen on Sunday on Wednesday.
Well, think about this. There are 5 people that invested $1,000 with a chance of winning $6 million
on the Vikings
that are now out
yep.
of Circus Survivor.
Yep. We're down to what, 15?
It was 28. Then we lost 5. 23.
Down to 23. So you've had a lot of devastating losses, I'm sure, over your career. Is it good or bad that the Vikings are right back at it and playing on Thursday after finding a way to lose to 0-10-1 Detroit?
I think it's a bad thing if they aren't at full strength.
Right.
And so they already know that Thielen's out.
Mm-hmm.
But if Dalvin can't go either, I mean, the Steelers are in, like, desperation mode. Like,
well, as are 6-5-1,
right. But the Steelers have most of their weapons, you know, and the NFL leader in sacks, you know, rushing probably the most immobile or one of the most immobile quarterbacks in the National Football League in Kirk Cousins. So a lot of signs point to Pittsburgh. I would have felt better if this line came out -1.5, -2 to Minnesota.
Right. Would have said something.
Yeah.
Because you're embracing the stink. You appreciate
I'm going to ride with Pittsburgh either.
It's anyway. Moving. I mean, yeah. here at Circa, it's a juice 3. You know, so it'll be interesting to see what happens, where this line ultimately lands. If you like Pittsburgh, I'd be curious if you should wait on this one, Sean, because there were other spots in town. You're getting, you know, -120 mm-hmm. on Minnesota, -115. So it does feel like it's ticking slowly towards Pittsburgh. So sorry, towards Minnesota. So you might be able to grab that 3.5 if you do like the Steelers.
Well, you know how I feel about.
No, I know.
Yeah, underdogs that are 6 points or less.
But Minnesota just finds ways to keep things yes, close. Right. Marquette trying to keep things close. Down 3 against Kansas State. It's bowl season, and if you don't get in quick on some of these games, folks, you're going to miss not only a good number, you're going to miss everything. And we'll talk of some of the big line moves with Puckstradamus. That's right. I brought him back a gift this time. I learned. It's the Nightcap here on VSiN.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. This segment of the Nightcap being brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches, a fresh way to enjoy nicotine without all the baggage of cigarettes, dip, or vape. No more smelling like an ashtray, no more spit cups, and no batteries to charge or leaky equipment to deal with. Zyn Nicotine Pouches are a smoke-free, spit-free, and available in 10 varieties like spearmint, wintergreen, citrus, and many more. For your convenience, each variety comes in 2 strengths so you can easily find the satisfaction level that's perfect for you. Zyn, America's #1 nicotine pouch, is available in over 100,000 locations nationwide, meaning it's never been easier to find your Zyn. So head on over to Zyn.com/find to locate a store near you. That's ZYN.com/find. Warning, this product does contain nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Alongside Sean King, a.k.a. Puckstradamus, I am Tim Murray. Matt Fortuna from the Athletic. Just that excited, Sean.
Ah, I like it.
He will join us in studio. A lot of college football heads in town.
They are.
Here in Vegas.
I had dinner, lunch the other day with Bob Stoops and Barry Switzer. And went to dinner the other night with Mike Locksley, Damon Evans, Kevin Sumlin. Smoked a cigar with Ward Manuel.
Look at you.
Yeah, man.
And none of these guys came into our studio. Other than Phil Fulmer, which I wasn't here for.
Well,
how was Phil? Coach?
Excellent. He was excellent.
Damon Evans has got a big decision to make. Did you get any insight for Aaron Oster back there? Who's he going to hire as the next?
Here was the conversation. I said, listen, there's someone that's close to me that works here at VSiN with us that's a lifelong Maryland fan, and I thought he was having a seizure. I came into work, and I was like, what's wrong, Aaron? He said, we finally got rid of the turd.
Man.
So I made him feel like he made the right decision.
Man.
I thought Aaron was going to be in tears, and he was the complete opposite. I
mean, yeah, he was excited.
So I guess it was time for Turgeon to go.
A lot of Maryland fans were fired up about the decision to move away.
I just know how good a job that is. I mean, they don't have any kind of home environment there. So,
man, poor Aaron can't fight for himself back there. He's got no microphone. Yeah, it's a busy week in the college football world, and Matt Fortuna has been here covering it. one of the many great reporters, but he's going to be joining us in studio.
So I have a quick question for you.
Please.
Before we get Matt in studio, how bullish on you are on betting college football bowls early?
It's a great question because I think there are certain situations, and I'll give you an example. You know, if you bet Western Michigan early, you're in phenomenal shape because Western Michigan is playing in the Quick Lane Bowl. And I like to look for these spots where, you know, one team's going to be motivated, one team's not. I mean,
right.
It's simple science. And one of the games we're going to talk about with the big mover is Western Michigan and Nevada. Now, like I said, if you got in on this early, Sean, Nevada, now look, Nevada's no longer a favorite. I mean, they are the prohibitive dog. It's -3 everywhere for that game. And the reason is, yes, Jay Norvell, their head coach, left, but their first-round pick quarterback is not playing. So if you had gotten in early, then Western Michigan was a great bet. Now, I will say this. Last year, there was a particular spot that I thought I was going to like. Mm-hmm. It was Texas A&M against North Carolina. I think it was the Orange Bowl. North Carolina hadn't played in a major bowl in like 50 years. Texas A&M, remember last year, they felt like they should have been in the playoff over Notre Dame.
Right.
So I bet North Carolina right away. I took the points. I said, I love this bet. Guess what happened? Everyone opted out.
Yeah.
Even though it was a major bowl game, everyone opted out. So there are pluses and minuses to trying to get in early and, you know, feeling like you're getting a good number because you just don't know when players may decide to opt out. We're seeing some movement in coordinators. You know, you look at the Peach Bowl. Mark Whipple, the offensive coordinator at Pitt, he's now with Nebraska. Now, as you see the line move, Sean, it's down to a pick because there are rumors out there that Kenny Pickett might not be playing in this game, which is, you know, unfortunate if you're a college football fan. But if you're Kenny Pickett and you're likely going in the first round and your offensive coordinator is not going to be there.
You know what's interesting?
Maybe you don't play.
And I hope he's listening. If Kenny Pickett didn't play in the bowl game and he was healthy, if I was an NFL GM, I'd take him off my board.
Really?
Yeah. I want guys that love to play the game of football.
It.
You can get injured at IMG working out for the draft, but you're still going to go show up every day and work out. Like, there, to me, there's something about true leadership, genuine love for the game of football, an opportunity to have one last competition with a bunch of guys that have sacrificed and gave everything next to you. Like, I'm not into like that, okay, I'm going to opt out of a game because I'm afraid, and say the word, I'm afraid that I may get injured. Like, this is a violent, dangerous game.
So this is where, you know, I concede to you on a lot of things. This is one of the main things I'll concede to you on because I've never played the game of football.
Like, I would take him off my board. It was one of the biggest issues I had with Trey Lance, sitting out the COVID season and not playing.
Well, like, No. They moved their season to the spring.
I know what they
did. He got drafted in April.
That's okay. I still would have played.
But their season ended in, like, May.
I still would have played.
How?
Because he opted out way before that. I'm just saying, it is what it is. Some people love the game, some don't.
Micah Parsons opted out the whole season from Penn State.
He's not the quarterback. I'm talking about the quarterback position.
Okay.
Right.
That's fair.
Yes, I'm looking at the quarterback position.
No other position.
Yes, just the quarterback. Because to me, that's the leader of the ball club.
Like when Jalen Smith ripped up his knee in the Fiesta Bowl, a lot of people said, see, he shouldn't have played. Now, fortunately,
the deal is, though, if he's at IMG or Athletes Performance.
I agree.
And he's testing and working, you do the same thing.
Right. No, and people say the same thing about the preseason. And like I said, this is why I concede to you on this, because I tend to agree with that, but I don't get hit for a living. I played Division III basketball. There was no worry about my career. Look, my life in broadcasting was not affected if I broke my ankle in my last basketball game. That had no effect on my life whatsoever. Right. So I have a hard time really putting myself in the shoes of these players because I understand that financially, things, you know, obviously they it could hinder them financially. You were in that situation, so it's completely different.
Oh, yeah, I played in the Senior Bowl. I played in the Liberty Bowl. Like, I mean, come on.
Pickett's playing in the Senior Bowl.
So then why would you skip the bowl game?
Like,
talk me through that.
Yeah. Well, so let's go back to some of these line moves. Purdue opened as a 2.5-point favorite, and now they are a 5-point underdog. Why? David Bell, their best wide receiver, out. George Karlaftis, their best edge rusher, is out as well. So now you look at Purdue, the guy that was a big reason why they beat Michigan State, David Bell, is not playing in this game. George Karlaftis, who's probably a top 10 pick coming off the edge, he's not playing. And Tennessee's, you know, this is a situation. First-year head coach in Josh Heupel. This game's in Nashville. You would think there's a lot of motivating factors for Tennessee to build off of year one and win this game.
I thought this was a bad line before the opt-outs.
Yeah.
I just think Tennessee's better than Purdue. If everything's equal, I think Tennessee's a better football program and team than Purdue. So I think this allowed them to correct the line to what it should have been from the beginning. Even with Dave Bell, I mean, Tennessee's went up against the SEC receivers. So it's not like David Bell is going to be something new or surprising to them.
This one is
And he's really good, by the way. But
David Bell?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This is really fascinating. I'm curious to get your thoughts on this one because we've seen a move in the Sugar Bowl. Both these teams, I think, will be very motivated.
Mm-hmm.
Baylor against Ole Miss. But we have seen a flip of favorites from the opening line. And remember, you know, I think it was DraftKings, South Point, got these out quickly. Some other books, not saying they were slow to get there, but, you know, did their homework poking around. But, you know, now, see, this is bouncing around because Westgate has Mississippi as a favorite. South Point, DraftKings has Baylor minus 1.5. Jeff Lebby, the offensive coordinator for Ole Miss, is leaving to go to Oklahoma. So he's out.
Makes sense.
But you still have Lane Kiffin.
Right.
You know he's going to cherish the opportunity.
None of that matters. It's all about Matt Corral.
He's going to play.
Yeah, if Matt Corral plays, then to me, Ole Miss is the play.
Really?
Yes, because
even with that defense for Baylor?
Yeah, but again, this will be by far the best offense that Baylor defense has seen this year. You know, Ole Miss is going up against Bama. You know, they played Arkansas. You know, they played some SEC defenses that have some big-time athletes. So, is there? I mean, Baylor's not going to be anything new, you know, from an athleticism standpoint, which is, you know, a big part of this. You know, so plus the quarterback play is something Baylor hasn't seen. Like, they just haven't seen anything like Matt Corral.
Yeah, they haven't seen anything. They saw Caleb Williams. He's a freshman, though.
So, yeah, but he didn't play good that game.
No.
He actually got benched.
I think Baylor was a reason.
Nah,
I think Dave Aranda.
Nah, he just didn't play.
You don't think Dave Aranda was a reason?
No, nah, I just think Caleb didn't play well.
And I do want to clear one thing up. Kenny Pickett hasn't officially announced. There is a lot of speculation, rumors that he will not play, but he has not officially announced. Hey, we're tied up 48-48. Come on, Marquette. Let's get this done. Ooh, that's been a big three. We'll keep you updated on that. Matt Fortuna from The Athletic in studio next right here on the Nightcap.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Keep it rolling here on the Nightcap. We've expanded, brought in Matt Fortuna from The Athletic. I don't know if he's gotten any sleep over the past couple of weeks. He has been bouncing around, and as all of you know, as a Notre Dame fan, he is a man who is I've been refreshing my Twitter for weeks on end.
And are dumber for it.
Yeah.
Appreciate the support.
I was trying to find more information, but appreciate you out here with the Hall of Fame, with everything going on with college football. You know, Sean was having dinners with all the big wigs.
Yeah,
you know,
I was trying
town.
To get the rules changed.
For what?
Well, think about this. You're talking about.
Are you trying to get into the Hall of Fame?
Bias? Yes. I mean, come on. So non-Power 5 didn't exist then. It was Division 1, Division 1 AA. So, of course, Tulane was a non-Power 5. Do you know the qualification to get inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame is you had to make an All-American team?
First team All-American.
Right. So how in the heck could somebody at Tulane make first team All-American back in mid to late 90s? It wasn't possible.
Tim Couch got it over you. I think that's ridiculous. I'm just saying.
Like, Tim Couch was first-team All-American. I think Cade McNown, who was playing at UCLA, was like the Davey O'Brien. Yeah, like, that's ridiculous. Come on. I'm better than both of those clowns. I love both of you guys. Hope you're watching.
Your guy Michael Bishop, too, that year.
He was like, he got invited to the Heisman. I think he finished second to Ricky Williams, if I'm not mistaken. That. So how is somebody at Tulane going to make an All-American team in that season?
Well, I don't know.
Not get punished for
who
life.
Who do I need to write a letter to? Matt?
So I really
Matt's,
was politicking.
That's why you guys brought me in,
yeah,
right?
That's
just
right.
So I can deliver the
message. Next 30 minutes, we're going to talk to Matt Fortuna from The Athletic. How do we get Sean King into the College Football Hall
of Fame? Well, not just me, but guys that played at non-traditional colleges that were really, really great college football players before you could make an All-American team at one of those schools.
Clearly, you should have went 1AA.
I know, right?
Well, no, Matt's in town, and we got a lot to get to. Just
haters,
you know,
man.
With all the bowl season and the opt-outs and the movement. You know, I'm curious. We were talking about, you know, Ole Miss, Jeff Lebby going to Oklahoma. So he is no longer going to be the offensive coordinator for Ole Miss. You know, great move for him, you know, career-wise. He's an Oklahoma guy.
Why? Explain that. Why is that a great move?
I don't know.
Okay.
It seemed like it makes sense.
Yeah. Is he from Texas or is he from Oklahoma?
He's an Oklahoma guy, isn't he? He's an Oklahoma.
I think so.
Whatever. But I'm. We're not here to. This is not sports talk radio.
Well, we got him in studio, so we can keep him for an hour if we want to.
No, I understand.
Right.
So I want to know.
I'm getting paid overtime, right?
He went to Oklahoma. It's his alma mater. But what does this do, in your opinion? You still have Lane Kiffin there. You still have Matt Corral. Does this affect Ole Miss in the Sugar Bowl?
It has to, right? I mean, the same way Mark Whipple leaving Pittsburgh.
Well, if Kenny Pickett doesn't play, it's a whole
new ballgame. Well, yeah, if Kenny Pickett doesn't play, that's a whole new ballgame. Yeah. But even Kenny Pickett without Mark Whipple's OC, that's got to have some effect, right? Same way Jim Knowles going to Ohio State.
Now, is he –
probably.
So, sorry to interrupt. So the way I read that is that he's going to coach the bowl game, though, right?
As far as I heard today, they still have not determined that.
Okay.
State. Ohio State said he'll start with us January 2nd. Oklahoma State could say –
I got
see the door right now.
Hopefully, yeah. go pack. You got it. Takes a long time to pack. You know, it's a long ride from Stillwater to Columbus.
You could just take Notre Dame as a dog right now before that becomes official.
Well, they're 2.5-point favorites.
Are
so.
They now?
Oh,
that moved.
Yeah, so I, yeah.
Shows you where my mind's been this week.
You gotta pack your stuff up, man. Sean, you know how
you
it
guys
is.
Are gonna woodshed Okie State, but Okie State's terrible on offense.
They're not terrible
like
on defense, though.
If Dave Aranda doesn't go for it for some unknown reason on his side of the 50 at 21-6, I mean.
I can't believe he didn't let them score with a minute left.
Yeah, I can't believe he went for it. They were up 21-6. Spencer Sanders had done everything on the sideline but get into a fist fight with his coaches and teammates. I mean, it's complete turmoil. And for some reason, Aranda decides, I think they're on like their own 33. To go for it, up 21-6. And, of course, they don't get it. Oklahoma State scores on a short field. Now the whole sideline is dancing and the emotion is turned. Like, that was all around. I was hoping for them to lose just because of that terrible decision. As Mike Tomlin says, yeah, they're very aggressive with analytics, which means they're predictable.
Well, if they had lost, I mean, everything would have unfortunately left Cincinnati out. But here we are.
Having said that.
Yeah.
Lebby being gone doesn't matter. Lane Kiffin is one of
Knowles
the best.
Knowles being gone, does that matter for Oklahoma State?
No, not really. Not in this one-off. You know, you get enough time.
Whipple leaving Pittsburgh.
So it would be more of an issue if it was they played the following week.
Mm-hmm.
So someone that hasn't been doing the game plan and hasn't been, you know, scheming has all of a sudden in a short window, which you're talking about a whole month, where you get to look at every game. You have your GAs, your off-the-field coaches break down all the tendencies. You know, so you'll go in very prepared. The big deal is Lane Kiffin's one of the best play callers in the game of football.
But there's a pretty big opening out there in Eugene, Oregon right now that might have his name on it.
Nah.
Who is it, John?
Lane likes the ladies.
Well.
He's trying to get to Miami.
Miami.
Because he's in Oxford. There's no way he's going to Eugene.
Well, let me ask.
Everyone's got a press.
Well, let me ask you this. Matt Fortuna from The Athletic in studio. Mario Cristobal goes to Miami. Radakovich from Clemson is now going to Miami. So what felt like a disastrous search for about a week came up pretty good there for Miami. I think we've asked this about Texas and now Miami. You know, we've been waiting. When is the U back? We thought, oh, Mark Richt is there. Yeah. They beat Notre Dame on that Saturday night. And then, 2 weeks later, they lost to Pittsburgh.
Kenny Pickett, the birth of Kenny Heisman.
There you go. Yeah. God, he's been in college that long.
Yeah.
My Lord. Is this a great thing for Miami moving forward?
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, look, it was not the smoothest of processes to get there. And God bless Manny Diaz, one of the best guys in the business. A lot of D.C. openings around the country. I'm hoping he lands one of those. The guy's also Miami-born and bred, and his father was the mayor of the city. I don't know if that's a family you really want to get too angry.
And he went to Miami, right?
Hurricanes. Yeah. Florida State. No, he went to Florida State. Okay. He started at ESPN as a media guy.
But he coached at Miami, right? Cristobal?
Cristobal did.
Cristobal played offensive line in Miami. Okay.
Cristobal's Miami through and through. Right. Played there during the glory days. Mm-hmm. Obviously going back, obviously for a lot of money. But that's a proven winner. I know, like, a lot of the Oregon jilted detractors, whatever you want to call them, will say he was a great coach 6 days a week. And, like, I'm not going to argue with that. There are a lot of Saturday game day calls that I think a lot of us questioned in real time. But as I said, that to someone who works in Miami this week, he said, can we just beat Georgia Tech first? Can we just beat Virginia first? We're in the ACC Coastal. We're not asking to win 5 national titles tomorrow. Let's just have more than one 10-win season in the last 15 years. How about we start there? And who better than Mario Cristobal to establish that culture that will allow them to do that in the short term?
I do have a couple different questions. Why does anybody feel bad for Manny Diaz?
He's getting paid, I know.
No, even beyond that. Manny Diaz is the same guy that left the Temple fans hanging. People forget Manny Diaz had accepted.
He can go back. Has Temple hired his head coach?
No, they haven't. They haven't.
Temple, you're tweeting out Temple. I mean, I don't know
My dad used to say what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Like, he accepted. My dad said, let your yes be yes, your no be no. Manny Diaz told the AD, the president, the fan base of Temple, I accept the job. He went there.
None of whom are still at Temple now, and all of whom feel bad for him right now. Right. I can tell you that. They got a lot of money from Miami when he left, and they used that on their staff.
But now Manny sees the other side of that, you know? Like, if you're going to do it, then you can't get upset if it's done to you.
Well, it's just tough when you're, like, they had a recruit Sunday, his whole staff. And it's like, hey.
They'll be okay.
They'll be fine. But, yeah. I mean, it reminds me of the scene from Old School, right? Vince Vaughn's at the frat house. Says, here's my number in case something happens to my wife.
I don't have any sensitivity for guys in college when it comes to this because they leave all the time.
Oh, it's a tough business. It's a cutthroat business.
If you want to tell me we feel bad for the kids, or you sent your child to be developed, nurtured, turned from a boy into a young man, and all of this shuffling is going around. No one's communicating with you. I get it. But all that other stuff, man, listen, this is part of the business. If you don't like it, leave.
By the way, I will say this, and I think, Matt, you were covering Notre Dame. Were you covering Notre Dame in 2010?
No, Brian Kelly's 2011.
Okay.
I've done everything but the first season.
First season, the reason I bring that up, Notre Dame played Miami in the Sun Bowl.
Yep.
They had just fired their coach. Similar situation. It could get cold in El Paso.
Yeah, I remember
New
that.
Year's Eve, Notre Dame smashed them.
Yeah.
Same situation this year. Jake Dickert has just been promoted up. Look how Washington State played when that whole situation unfolded there with their
Nick Rolovich.
They responded. Yeah. They won their last, three out of the last four. They crushed Washington in the Apple Cup. This might be my favorite play of the bowl season.
You
They're
like
an
State?
Underdog what? Against Miami. Yes. Before you leave town, plus 120 on the
right
money
here.
Line. Miami, look, long-term, probably a great move. It is, I would think. But right now, these players don't want to go to El Paso on New Year's Eve.
Oh, not when you're from South Florida.
And Washington State
and
is
a motivated
fired
team.
Up.
A very motivated
CBS,
team.
They got an opportunity to kick Miami's butt.
Erickson Bowl.
Washington State, man.
I'm with you.
That's my favorite.
I will say one more thing on Manny Diaz, and I know like Miami was not great.
Yeah.
He had the second best conference winning percentage in the ACC during his 3 years there.
Really?
Would you ever have guessed that?
No, I would not.
Neither would I.
That's Matt Fortuna. More to come. We'll talk a little college football playoff. We'll update you on Marquette, too, because Sean and I want some money. It's a nightcap here on VSiN.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Decent holiday offer is here. Right now, when you sign up for our $99 midseason football special, you'll also receive a $20 credit to the VSiN store. Get all our expert sports betting analysis, insights, and data for the rest of the football season, plus $20 to buy VSiN sports betting hats, shirts, mugs, and other great gear. Hurry, this is a limited time offer, so sign up now for the perfect sports betting holiday gift. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe. Alongside Sean King, I'm Tim Murray. Matt Fortuna, college football writer for The Athletic, joining us in studio here. He's been in town for a couple of days. You've been all around, man. You went to L.A. this weekend? Bouncing around?
Palm Springs. Palm Springs? Out there, yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Quieter.
I was in L.A. too. Anaheim. Me and Mickey hanging out.
That's right. I might be there next month, so I'll get a scouting report for
great,
you for a little
yes,
while.
Yes, I will. We will kids around the same age. We'll break it down. But we're here to talk some college football and maybe a little college basketball. Marquette, Sean, still up 5.
Yeah, I'm nervous, though. Like, they've had a stretch where if they made a couple shots, this could be a double-digit lead. And they kind of are letting K-State hang around, you know, this little tricky little. They hit a 3, you know. So I'm fine. We're up 5 now. 4. I'd rather be up than down, but I'm not comfortable.
All right, let's bounce around real quickly.
What's called a sweat, by the way.
Yeah.
And when they say you're sweating,
I've never placed a bet before in my life. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Sweat.
Oregon. Who is the next head coach of the Oregon Ducks, Matt?
I think there's real interest in Chip Kelly.
Really?
I personally think that's a disaster way to happen. Not a disaster way to happen. I just think that's a bad move. Mm. I'm sure UCLA would be happy to help facilitate that and go get their own guy. But not that he's done a bad job there. But look, if you're going to try to turn back the clock and reach back to your glory days, you're going to expect the results that you got in those glory days. Going 11-1 every year, winning the Pac-12, competing for national championships. Anyone who's watched Chip Kelly coach in the last 5 to 7 years knows that that's not happening anymore. And you have an Oregon fan base that's very new money. It's not Alabama. It's not Notre Dame. This is a program that has punched way above its weight when you look at finances, location, facility, recruiting, all that. They're a lot better than they should be. And I just think if they get Chip Kelly and you're going 8-5 every year instead of 11-1 or whatever it is, which is more likely than not now that USC seems to have gotten their stuff together in the Pac-12.
Not happy about that.
I don't know. I just don't think that's a great move. There are other good guys out there that I think they should kick the tires on, but I'll be curious to see what Rob Mullins does.
I don't think that's a great job anymore. I think the things that made Oregon great were they were ahead of the curve.
Right. Oh, with Chip,
the uniforms,
yes.
With the facilities. But what they started was an arms race. And so now everyone has Oregon-like facilities. And it's a reason that Willie Taggart left, Mario Cristobal left. Living in Eugene is tough on your family. You know, it's Oregon.
It's remote.
It's remote. It's dark. Like, I'll never forget Coach Taggart telling me this. Like, they had to get a psychologist because they were bringing a lot of Florida kids in those classes, and a lot of them were, you know, experiencing depression and different things, and they were having to get, like, professional help because it's dark a lot of the year. It rains a lot of the year, and, like, it just was, for whatever reason, depressing. So, I mean, I think a lot of people know that now. So, although it's great facilities – it's a very national brand. Now that Chip Kelly's at UCLA, Lincoln Riley's at USC, DeBoard is at Washington, going into California has just gotten harder.
Mm-hmm.
So where do you recruit from? And then the quality of life and the difficulty in getting to recruits or getting recruits there. So it's a lot of things now that I think have come out that people in the profession understand and know about Oregon, because you would think they could go and get some big-time sitting coaches to come and attach themselves to that brand. So it'll be interesting. You know, I don't see Chip at this point in his life with all the zeros he has in his bank account leaving L.A. to go back to Eugene. I'm just saying I could be wrong, but when the wife is involved in these decisions. It's a reason.
He's still a bachelor, isn't he?
Oh, right. Is he a bachelor?
He always was. Maybe he got married in recent years.
Maybe he has. It's a reason that Lincoln didn't go to Baton Rouge. He went to Los Angeles.
Well, speaking of that, Matt Fortuna hanging out, and we'll get to the playoff here in just a moment. All right, so we've had Brian Kelly to LSU, Lincoln Riley to USC, Mario Cristobal to Miami. Look, no offense to Kalen DeBoer. Maybe you think that is. But what do you think is the best hire immediate impact come 2022?
I think it's Lincoln Riley to USC. I mean, I just think when you look at the location of the school, when you look at the infrastructure, and we've heard Mike Bone and Brandon Sauson, the guys who made this hire, say, we probably aren't able to hire Lincoln Riley if this job's open 2 years ago. We had to build a lot of things in to attract a top-tier candidate. And look at where he was recruiting already at Oklahoma.
All those guys
Southern
decommitted.
California. They all went with him.
To USC.
It's the Pac-12. There's path to relevance there very quickly. So I'm not saying they're making the playoff next year, but they're going to be there sooner than later. And I think there's no way that's not a good hire at the end of the day.
100%. I mean, he has access to top-tier offensive linemen and in bulk every year.
You never have to get on a plane there.
Right. I don't know how California produces, you know, these elite offensive linemen, but they do. You know, for instance, if you look at the Georgia-Alabama game, Bryce Young is from California, L.A. Yep. The tight end from Georgia, 19, is from California. So the expectation is that Lincoln will keep that kind of talent in-state. He's in a conference where even while they've struggled, they haven't really been at a talent deficit.
Right.
It's been more discipline,
development.
So I think it's a no-brainer. That's the best hire. Perfect fit. He has the California look. He has the high-profile offense. People are going to be excited. You'll start seeing all the stars start coming back to the games, and that's big. And the thing I think that is the biggest asset he has, there is no one happier in this country than Fox Sports. Fox Sports is a West Coast-based company. They want the Western Hemisphere to be significant in college football. They will go out of their way to make sure that everything that's done at University of Southern California is a part of the presentation that they present when they're doing college football. So he has everything in his corner.
I thought it was a terrible hire. Terrible.
Well, I mean, Notre Dame needs a strength of schedule boost.
Are you going to be here 2024 opener?
Yeah,
LSU, USC. Brian Kelly, Lincoln Riley. Your two favorite coaches.
Yeah, there we go.
Here's what Tim don't know. If USC was a top 15 program this year, Notre Dame might be in the college football playoff. Because your strength of schedule has gone down.
Yeah, well, yeah. Everyone.
It's not just USC's fault. It's a lot of people at Notre Dame.
North Carolina, too, was a preseason top 10 team. But Notre Dame going to the Fiesta Bowl.
Oh, that's a big
Marquette
shot.
Hitting a big three. That's
yes!
Good. Yes, we like that.
Big Notre Dame Fiesta Bowl fan here, right? Oh, no, you're watching a game.
Let's get to the playoff real quickly, Matt. We've got Michigan. They are right now getting 8, so an 8-point underdog in this spot against Georgia. This will be the primetime game. Kansas State just hit a 3,
oh
so Sean's
gosh, upset. Little light-skinned kid. He can't even
does
shoot.
Does Michigan, Matt?
Come on, man.
What are you trying to say?
By the way, Sean, he's the guy who played quarterback in the NFL. We both had the same bet. I'm usually the one losing my mind, but he's the one flipping out over here.
Well, because they got like a little fake Steph Curry, just hits a 3, hadn't even shot a 3 all game. It's ridiculous. Like with a hand in his face, like, come on, man.
We got company. Can you hold it together?
I'm entertained.
We're gonna keep him for another segment.
Well, we got a guest coming up top of the hour.
We'll push him
back. Michigan plus 8. Does Michigan keep this thing close against Georgia?
I think they do. What Georgia team are we gonna see? The team of the
is
first?
JT Daniels gonna play?
That too, right?
No.
I mean,
he should play.
No, he shouldn't.
Why not?
Because he doesn't give the athleticism aspect to the offense that Stetson Bennett does. Like JT's.
You think he's athletic?
Yeah. Stetson can move
around.
Sounds
like a law firm.
And you guys got to give Stetson some credit. Now, he played one bad half of football. If you look at the second half, he actually came back in, you know, at least the fourth quarter. He was playing pretty good. So, I mean, I wouldn't go away from him. I mean, it's not like when they played JT Daniels versus Clemson that the offense was humming.
That's true.
I mean, come on. So. By the way, Michigan wins this game outright because Harbaugh only has 2 more games as Michigan head coach.
Where's he going, the Bears?
No, he's going to be the head coach, Las Vegas Raiders.
Ryan Day will be the head coach of the Bears.
There are a lot of people in Chicago hoping for that. The thing with Georgia and me, though, is just, I mean, look, this was like set up perfectly for them, right? They're finally going to break through. That, for my money, should be the best job in America every single year. They've not won a championship since 1980. Like, it's just incredible how they keep tripping over themselves on big stages. And they did again this past week. I mean, they gave up 83 points all season long and then just gave up 41 to Alabama. And you can't tell me that psychologically that didn't mess with them. Like the Nick Saban voodoo, whatever you want to call it, the hold he has over that program. How do they respond to that? Because right now, at least momentum-wise, you've got two teams going in the complete opposite direction. Michigan, who no one was high on entering this year. Who
Unranked.
Losing season last year, I think 7.5 was the over-under for them this year. And by the way, they lose to Michigan State. And I'm thinking, here we go again.
Yep.
They're going to lose to Penn State. They're going to lose Ohio State. If it was anyone other than Jim Harbaugh, I think we'd be, you know, doing laps around, talking about how great he's been, coach of the year, this, that. And it you just don't see it. You don't see, I mean, yes, Notre Dame in 2017, but you don't see a head coach get a second chance like this, basically fire his entire staff and come out better than ever. But Michigan's done it, and they've looked damn good doing it.
You have 10 seconds. Champion, why?
Alabama, because of what I saw Saturday.
That is Matt Fortuna. Follow him on Twitter, @Matt_Fortuna. Once again, I was refreshing. All nonstop. Great stuff on the Marcus Freeman work. And make sure to catch all his work at The Athletic. Paul Charchian, top of the hour.